Synthesis first release is coming out on April 19th worldwide. The title is De-Evolution. Can you tell us a little bit more about the, you know, the concept and ideas behind this album?
Well, I didn't write the concept idea. It was more, yeah, that was all Eric doing the writing for that. But I can give you a little bit. It tells a story of an elite group of leaders from a heavily industrial city whose minds like brainwashed and then it splits and up. And how would you say it? Gosh, believing that there would be a perfect supreme leader. And basically, the storyline will also turn into another concept. It's going to be a continuing series because our next CD will be Re-Evolution. So it'll be kind of like resolving the situation and the problems they have. It's, you know, about a tribe and a man who is trying to save his tribe. But in the process of going to another tribe in order to, I hope I'm explaining this well, Eric's going to probably just laugh, but basically they catch him and they basically try to make an example of him, they torture him, and then as he goes back to his village, once he's released and everything, he sees that there's just non-existent, that they killed off all his people. So he is the only one left in his tribe. So, and then this will go into the next continuation of what's going to happen after that. But I'm sorry, I'm not the best guy for this one. Eric wrote the whole story. I wrote all the music, so I can answer all that for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, this kind of ties on to the next question. And yeah, how do you, you know, conceptualize the music? Did you have the concept first? I mean, he presented it to you, and you decided what to write, or you kind of had already a skeleton and you try to make it fit?
I didn't contact Eric until I had the music pretty much written. So, I mean, what ended up happening is I had three songs recorded, and it just kind of worked out, like, whereas, like, I knew the vibe was turning into, which would be a great soundscape and a great map for him to do a concept. I always thought in the back of my mind Eric was going to be a part of this. And it was just a very different process that we went through, because when I got my recording studio up and running, I wrote a couple instrumentals, and it helped me out greatly, you know, to start with the synthesis material, because I needed to learn the recording system still. So then I started getting into the synthesis material, just wanted it to be very melodic and spacey, almost letting the tones and notes and chords transcend the material, creating tones and sounds that would inspire me to grow the material to its fullest, you know? You just kind of ring things out. So when I knew that it had that kind of soundscape, I gave it to Eric, and Eric, it's kind of crazy because Eric had this storyline for a very long time. He actually wanted to use it in Zero Hour. But people think, like, oh, this must be something you guys did way back when, but it's all fresh music. And also, it's fresh ideas that he did with retweaking his lyric ideas, and the melodies are completely different. So that was the process of going on. I recorded the stuff and then presented it to Eric.
And what kind of made you, you know, want to write something different than, you know, Zero Hour, which is, I mean, has released some amazing albums, taken off, but yeah, now you're going a little bit in a tangent with this project.
I just wanted to be more in a cinematic rock feel, you know what I mean, is what we wanted. Of course, you're going to have your metal elements because we love that as well. But I wanted it to be more spacey, more layers, just that with the Zero Hour, it was always my brother and I going into the rehearsal studio, and we are putting together ideas with Mikey. Where this, my brother had his surgery, and so that wasn't possible. You know, he had the submuscular transposition surgery for his ulnar nerve. And when it came to that point, I knew it was just going to be me writing. So it was a very different process. I mean, how we even tracked it was so different, where it was guitars, keyboards, click tracks first. Then we brought Eric in to do the vocals. Then we brought Sean Flanagan in to do the drums. And then my brother did the bass. So that was a process where usually it's completely different. And And I was just doing everything, just having it. We never were in one room to jam, ever. We never did that. So it was just kind of like passing along the stuff. But it came out, we picked up the right people. I mean, Sean's an amazing drummer who knows exactly what to do with this kind of style of music. Eric's amazing. And my brother, you know, his playing always speaks for itself. So there you go.
And I mean, yeah, and in terms of, you know, the difference, did you wanted to make the point clear that this is not, you know, a continuation or any kind of sort of related to Zero Hour or anything else? What do you wanted to, you know, a little bit add, kind of like, you know, really show this? How do you wanted to do that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely what we wanted to do is make sure this was presented as a new band. We didn't want it to be, no, this is not a rehash of Zero Hour or something like that. We wanted it to be fresh, something new. And that was our whole point. And I think, you know, getting the right people to do it, too, and kind of also setting goals that we're not going to go doing this, or we're not going to sing a high note just because we need to sing a high note or anything. It was all about the material and being very melodic and things sitting in the place. So, yeah. It was like, kind of what we were trying to do is just do our own cinematic prog sort of statement is what we were doing, and to make it synthesis it stand on its own, because you, obviously we've been with Zero Hour for a long time, and obviously we're bringing Eric back in, that would raise a lot of questions for people, like, is this going to be another Zero Hour thing? So, but luckily, what's great is all the Zero Hour fans, it's already the people who have heard it have said amazing things about it and say, hey, don't think this is Zero Hour, but if you, you know, you're going to be so stoked it's not, you know, at the same time, because this is a whole new listening experience. So, and that's what we wanted to do.
And, you know, in terms of, you have all these bands trying similar concepts and similar things, but where were you, what would you say it makes, you know, since this set apart from the rest?
Oh, man, you know, I just, when going through the, what sets us different, I just think what sets us different is that we wanted to layer so much to the sound and be very melodic and you know, just make it very appealing to the ear with lots of layers that where it can just put you into another place. A lot of people, I'm sure, have said this before, but that's what we were really going for. Yeah, I mean, with the concept and everything, and to be an ongoing concept. And, you know, I'm into so many different bands. I mean, I love Old Rainbow, you know, Porcupine Tree, Pat Metheny. I was even listening to Blue Murder, love Pink Floyd and everything, and it's just kind of showing all these influences that we've had of such great artists who have so much feel, but doing it our own way.
Yeah. And how do you feel that you achieved this now that you can actually listen to the final product? You're a little bit separated from it now since it's done and it's out for people to review it at least.
I'm just so stoked. It sounds... I'm very happy with it from start to finish. And that's always a very tough task. When you can listen to song one and go all the way to the end, and you say, well, we put it all on the table with every single song, because it's difficult. It was great to do the writing process differently with me being able to have my own studio and really dissect everything. You know what I mean? Because what we had in the past, it's like, we were just jamming in the studio, we would do a live recording, and that was it. This was nice because if something needed to be added, I can add it. If a part wasn't working, I could definitely take it out. Because there was definitely songs there that I couldn't do and things, because it's just, I had to get rid of them because they were either too, they didn't fit the mold of what we were going for. It was maybe too technical at points, and wasn't going anywhere. So, yeah, there was two songs I had to swap out because I was like, in the end, I said, this just doesn't work with this material. So we really stayed focused. We just stayed focused with the material at hand.
And how do you, I mean, touching into the technical aspect, where do you draw the line, or where do you think, you know, For example, I mean, yeah, everybody knows what you can do, but where do you draw the line now? And, you know, the whole pure showing off versus actually creating something worth, I mean, interesting to listen to.
Well, I think you go through periods where you just want to hear more of that stuff. You know, I mean, I love bands like, of course, I love bands like Meshuggah or, you know, real heavy bands, but I was just listening a lot to, like, bands like Journey, Pink Floyd, and, you know, it Blue Murder, and I was just, but I always have that prog side about me where I love just the lush keyboard things, just being a background, but then everybody else bringing all their instrumentation at the same time. So, it's a difficult thing, you know, I mean, with the whole process of that. I'm trying to think back, and some of it's a bit of a blur for me, because I wrote all this stuff back in, it was already all written musically on my part in late 2008, man. So now, what's great is we have a different outlet, though, because we do have another band that's all instrumental band that is just nothing but insanity. I mean, just crazy shredding stuff. And that's going to be an instrumental band called Abnormal Thought Patterns. And that's already tracked and is going to go into the mixing process, and we'll shop that and see. So for the technical thing, we still got that side about us if we want to do that, but synthesis will be what synthesis is. And that's about just creating very melodic, spacey music.
And in terms of, you know, I mean, now that you have your own studio and you can do all this other stuff, I mean, all this extra stuff that you were mentioning, where do you draw the line between, you know, making some songs that are just, I mean, that have so many elements that when you try to put them in a live setting, it's just, they sound completely and totally different.
Yeah, that's the thing. My brother's still with this condition right now. We're not able to go out and play live but we would like to do that in the future. I mean, the thing is, yeah, you know, I would, you know, when we get to that period and we all agree like we want to do it, I mean, I will have to get another guitar player, I'll have to get a keyboard player, or I'll have to, you know, need the help of the computers, you know what I mean, to get me going on that, because, yeah, definitely you want to bring those same elements live, because there is a lot of lush tones out there that is in our music and that is going to be necessary when playing live. So I haven't really dived into that yet. It's all about because of where my brother's at, but when I have to start thinking about that, I will definitely pay good attention and make sure those elements are there.
In terms of, you know, your personal choice or, you know, of the bands you like, what do you prefer the most? The bands that bring you, you know, the extra guitar players, the extra keyboard player, or the bands that just hit play in the samples and go with that?
I like both. I mean, I've seen both done well. You know, so it doesn't bother me as long as they're, you know, out there. You can totally tell that, yeah, sometimes you have the samples going on, but I think that's a cool thing. That's something that musicians have to embrace at some point, you know what I mean? Because we do want to make the most out of our music at the same time in the writing. I used to feel at some point doing some zero-hour CDs, it's like, well, we can't do that live, so I just won't do it, you know what I mean? And there is a difference in having a good production value for what you want on a disc, and then you go out and play it live. So I don't want to limit my thinking that, oh, I can't do this because we can't pull it off live. Luckily, with all the machines out there that you can do this, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, for me, some of the parts have six guitar parts, you know, going on, and I'm not going to be able to get six guitar players up there. So, you know what I mean? The stage will just collapse. But so where I'm at is, I like both. I mean, it's awesome with, like, Porcupine Tree when you see that, you know, they have a big band. It's just amazing what that keyboard player can do and how much he really brings to that band. I mean, they're just an amazing group. Unfortunately, we don't have a keyboard player. I did all that stuff. And I guess you know, more than likely they're going to want me to play guitar up on stage opposed to doing keys. So I like both elements. I think it's good to embrace, and, you know, as long as you're bringing your A game with the players you do have to cover a lot of ground, and then you have the things that has more of the atmosphere coming out of the speakers, I don't think I never mind that at all.
And you know, and in terms of now that you, yeah, you mentioned that you have the studio and everything, how much involved were you, or how much do you consider that you've invested yourself into making those little details perfect, exactly the way you want, versus working with?
Oh my God! Yeah, it's obsessive. You get very obsessed with everything on that thing. I mean, you know, it was so funny. There was times I just had to turn things off and say, I'll just come back and listen to it the next day. And then I listen to it the next day, and it sounds completely perfect. Your ears will just go on you. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know why I spent so much time. It's there. And then you start making a little move like, all right, I didn't go exactly on the down with that, you know, with that kid on the piano. You could really just, like, you still want to give it that feel, you know what I mean, that you're looking for. And whenever I would play it for everybody else, they're all, dude, you're going crazy. I don't hear anything of what you're saying. But since I was just married to the thing, you just hear things. It's like, well, I could have, you know, I could have plucked that chord a little different with my fingers. Or, you know, just something that you want to hear tone-wise that will mean absolutely nothing to some of the listeners out there. So, yeah, when you have your own studio, you do get very meticulous with everything. And but you know what? In the end, because I had to do, this was the first time doing it, listening back to everything now with the synthesis stuff, I'm just so glad I did, because the end result is I'm just very proud of it and just know how much work I put into it. And just to hear that people hear what I'm talking about to them, they're really enjoying the CD. I mean, it's just like, well, I did the right thing then, you know.
And you know, I mean, you've been obviously doing this for years. How do you feel that you're getting better at it, or you're getting more obsessive about it, or what is your opinion on that?
That's a great question, because, you know, there's elements that you like when you're just getting in there and you have an engineer and he's recording, hitting the record button and letting you go. You know what I mean? I think when you are behind it doing both things at the same time, you're just kind of looking at the screen too much, and, you know, there's just little elements that you didn't do before. So it's crazy. I mean, there are some aspects of just going into a studio and have them record you. That is really great. But I find that there's more benefits. If you know how to, it took me a while to use the system. I mean, luckily I had a buddy who helped me out with finding the right stuff, my buddy Joe Moog, and then I got together with this one guy, Matt Pinson, who we were trading guitar lessons for Pro Tool lessons, and this guy he's a major guy. He's done some, like, stuff for, like, the live DVDs of Matchbox 20 and things like that. He's amazing, this guy. And of course, the biggest help was having Dino Alden, the guy who mixed it, who did an amazing job. He was pushing me to do this, and he helped me get my studio up running with the good tones and everything. So he was a big help. But it took me a while to get to know what's going on with this system, to get into this world that I should have probably got into a long time ago, but was always scared to. But I did, and I'm so stoked I did, you know. I can't believe I dealt with it, you know, without it before, you know.
And now do you feel that future releases are going to take longer because you're going to be more detail-oriented on them with either synthesis, a few hour, whatever, your own project?
Yeah, well, you know, I have so much stuff written right now. It's like, even like I told you, all of Re-Evolution, all my guitar tracks, keyboard tracks, and all the drums that Sean's playing, it's all recorded. So it's done. I don't have to go in and do any of my stuff right now. So it's like, it would be getting Eric in there to do his vocals, and then after that, get my bro. But, right now I'm in a pretty good place, because I've recorded so much material that I just don't feel the need to write right now. And I don't get, I'm a guy who doesn't really get writer's block. I mean, it comes out of me pretty easily. So I have, you know, by just telling you that I have the abnormal thought patterns stuff already done, tracked, and then both the synthesis stuff is done in that way for me. And I've written like another extra 30 minutes worth of stuff. And it's kind of like I'm at some point where it's like, wait, I have so much material here, I should just hold out for a little bit. You know what I mean? Take a nice break.
And I mean, in the meantime, what are your plans promoting this release, and what else do you want to do with this little break that you want to take?
Yeah, I mean, of course I want to do as much to get the word out about the release, because I think if people were listening to it, I think they'll really pay attention to synthesis in the future too, which is great, because we always want to hear a lot of great music. I'm always out there looking for new bands and buying CDs all the time, you know, so it keeps things fresh. But I'm definitely going to push that and just see how things go, and then with my, we're going to be in the mixing process here soon with Abnormal. And more than anything, just hoping my brother just heals up and gets back to playing. And so there's a lot of things to look forward to right now. So I guess it's more sit and watching everything kind of take place, you know. So I'll just keep teaching guitar and do my usual stuff and get together with people and jam, and there you go.
And, you know, I mean, in terms of the fan base that you guys have, we kind of see that it's more... It's not your North American fan base. How do you guys see this?
Well, I hope that it will grow in the North American. Of course, that's everybody wants that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here, because it is, the material is a little different, and you seem to see that. Where you would say progressive before, maybe like 10 years ago, I mean, people frowned upon it. You know, I mean, progressive? What? You know, I mean, and now it's amazing how I see that word being so freely used now. You know what I mean? It's like people, you know, like animals as leaders or something like that. Progressive. You know, it's in there if they say progressive metal, you know, instrumental, whatever, but progressive is somewhere in there. For them as well. So it's crazy to think that in some ways that, you know, people think progressive is cool to a point. So I'm hoping that translates for us too. So there you go.
And what would you think that is the main thing that the genre needs, you know, to gain more attention and more, let's call it, mainstream?
Well, I guess it will probably never go exactly mainstream, which is not, you know, the worst thing in the world or anything like that. I mean, I think people want to, you know, you hear what some of the music is out there now. You want it to kind of go back to being more real, you know what I mean? Where the tones mean something, you know what I mean? Where real drums or, you know, organic keyboard patches or whatever you might say, well, that can be a little weird to use in that, saying that, but being more organic with your music, you know what I mean? It just seems like everybody, I find that, I listen to some bands now, and it's like they're using a lot of computers, and it's just not as much of them, you know what I mean? Where, you know, that gets the, you know, people want to hear the music. They want to hear it being played and coming from the heart and soul of the artist. And I think that can translate far, because when you look at Porcupine Tree, they're doing great. You got Opeth out there, who they do great as well. And, of course, Dream Theater, you know,
yeah,
been around for a long time and held the game up, you know what I mean? So there are people who want to hear that stuff. I mean, we can always talk about Pink Floyd, Rush, and all those bands. I mean, they got that longevity forever, and they're heroes to all people who love music. So but it would be great to see more things translating for the new progressive bands, that's for sure.
And just to kind of, you know, sum things up, is there, like, any particular things that you want to say to the people in North America and the world that are going to be listening to this interview, they're waiting for the album and all those things?
Yeah, well, we do have a track up for people to listen to. We have Incision up there on our MySpace, which is a synthesis, MySpace synthesis band. And also, I believe we put one up on YouTube if you just put synthesis, and of course with the C there, synthesis, and it's Incision, the track. Check it out. And if you like that song, you're going to like the CD. It's one of those things that, you know, the music really is like, it pulls in that direction for sure. So I think it's a good representation of the band by hearing that song. And then please pick it up, and we appreciate all the support, because the support helps us able to record more CDs. This is not, you know, I mean, no, I don't make a living by doing this, but, you know, I appreciate that I can create something, and knowing that the recordings are paid for by people going out and buying the product, that helps us be able to do that.